That old
and good morning, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Thanks for joining us this August 3rd, Saturday morning, here from the Radio Ranch on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Pour you a cup. We'll be right back.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
It will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And that it will. And we say greetings and good morning to the
good
lost
morning.
And found sheep of the house of Israel. And good morning, men. How are you this morning, Jason?
Doing well. How are you doing, Richard?
Oh, never had a bad day. Today's a beautiful one. And how's cowboy, charismatic, smiling cowboy Kyle doing?
Doing good. Good morning.
Good morning. And we say good morning to all of you out there. It's a beautiful Saturday morning, September 3rd, 2011. This year's just flying by.
Well, the weeks are going by so fast. The days, the week, the month. And man, you're looking, we're already into September.
Already September. Yep, absolutely. And it's been 10 years since 9/11. Whew, my, how time flies. Well, let's start off with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the ability to gather here this morning in fellowship, to be able to talk with each other, to share our views and our comments, the direction that you give us. We thank you for that. And we're just thankful to you that you allow us to be able to share this with your remnant out there, that you allow us to have coffee with the Wranglers here and share that and have coffee with the saints out there. We ask for your blessings on the broadcast, that you would be with us, guide and direct us. Direct us down the paths you have laid out before us. And Lord, we just pray that this broadcast would be a blessing to your saints out there, that it would let them know that they are not alone, even though they're scattered. You still have your at least 7,000 out there, Lord, we know that don't bow their knee to Baal, and we thank you for them. And let this message reach them, and let it all be to the glory of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In his name we pray it, amen.
Amen.
Well, I've got a couple of news things here I'd like to talk about, but we'll turn it over to you guys first. Jason, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, it was interesting watching what happened to the Gibson Guitar Factory this week. I actually tried getting a hold of getting a hold of them for an interview and couldn't, but I think it was probably because they had bigger interviews to take care of, like the Wall Street Journal, CNN, CBS, and that sort of thing. So I was probably low on the priority list to call back. But it was interesting, you know, how, you know, Obama can come out on and talk about, oh, we want to create jobs, and the feds are talking, we need to create jobs, and here they go in and they shut down a factory and eliminated over 530 jobs and can't even charge anybody with anything. They didn't press charges on anything.
Why did they close the factory down or shut them down?
Well, nobody knows. They supposedly, there was some paperwork that might have been filed improperly when they were importing some of their rosewood from India.
I did hear something about, when you mentioned that, about some exotic woods, and that was all I heard was a blurb about that.
And they're saying that the paperwork that might, big question mark as on the might have been done improperly in India, but nobody really knows, and nobody really understands the importing laws or exporting laws from India and how the stuff was to be labeled, so nobody knows. But it is a fact that all the other guitar manufacturers get their wood from the same parts of India from different manufacturers, and still been importing their products and haven't had a problem one. And they're like the Gibson CEO. He says, you know, you've got to charge us with something, don't you? I mean, what are we charged with? And they said, well, you're not charged with anything. But they come in, they shut the factories down, they interrogated people for hours and hours on end, employees that were working there. They'd take them behind locked doors and interrogate them and then threaten them, and then they took the computers, they seized bank accounts, they shut down, seized all kinds of equipment, all kinds of inventory, and they can't tell you what's going on.
Men, join me in a song. I'm proud to be an American, or at least I know I'm free. Give me a break.
Proud America of what?
Yeah, what are you proud of? What are you proud of? Your communist leaders up there in Washington, D.C.
We've been talking about, the Day of the Lord events. It's not that they're coming, it's that they're here.
They are right here.
We've been talking for a long time about having a police state and about having, these government agencies running around doing whatever the heck they want. Well, they're here.
Absolutely. That's exactly where we're at, folks. You know, I remember hearing things like this when I was, in the 70s and 80s, and Kyle, you're a little closer to my age probably than Jason is, and you probably remember it too. I remember hearing these exact things happening in the Soviet Union.
Oh, yeah.
Under communist rule, that you'd have a company that's working, and they would just come in, shut it down, interrogate the people, send them home, you're closed down. Why? We don't need a why. You're just closed down. I remember hearing about that in the Soviet Union, and lo and behold, the Berlin Wall fell under that supposed saint of Ronald Reagan. Boy, don't talk bad about him. And now, you would think that our system would go that way. It's just the opposite. Now we live under the communist rule instead of them.
Exactly. Well, when we're talking about communists, we're talking about sons of the devil. We're talking about Antichrist, and it's in their blood, and they're not going to stop. The only way to stop them is to kill them.
Yep.
That's the only thing that stops Satan's kingdom, Antichrist, and that's what the Communist Party was.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're talking about two spirits.
To steal, kill, destroy.
Talking about the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of Christ. One is the spirit of liberty, the spirit of freedom.
Yes.
And one is
very
the complete opposite, where all they do is regulate you and put rules and laws on you. And, of course, they don't lift up a finger to obey them, but they make everybody else obey them, And that's the difference, in Richard's opening prayer, he talked about, basically the spirit of Elijah against these Baals, And that's what it all comes down to. Who are you going to worship? You going to worship Baal, the government, or are you going to worship Christ? you know, freedom and liberty and the Holy Spirit.
Well, and it's you know, to a lot of people, this story with the Gibson Guitar Factory, it's not going to mean a whole lot. But there's 531 people that are out of a job. You know, that's huge. You know, and it's just, it's totally opposite of what your government gets on the radio and television is trying to tell you. Now, I don't want to be just like all these other talking heads who will rant and rave about it. I was glad that this week on Wednesday night prayer meeting, somebody called in, and I had already called the Gibson Factory a couple times trying to get a hold of them, but somebody called in Wednesday night and said, I don't know if you know about this, but we need to pray for these people, and we need to pray against this because this was an attack. And we did. And that's a way that we can fight back, even when we see these things going on. Our enemies have flourished, and they have been able to do what they're doing in this land because men and women have failed to pray against them. And that's something that we got to remember to do. You know, we see these coming amongst us. We see this evil wickedness coming across our land, taking over. Pound them, pulverize them.
Yeah, what's wrong with standing there and saying, God, we know you're the God of gods, you know, and we're coming against their gods, their Baals, their laws, their statutes, their whatever they've got going for them, and saying, you know, here I am, God, I'm praying to you, and I want to watch the results, you know, because the results are going to be great. They're going to be the same as they were in the days of Elijah, you know, and because we know our God is greater than theirs, and it's time to come against them with prayer. Because there's not a whole lot more we can do. You know, arm ourselves with the armor of Ephesians 6 and pray.
You know, let them be the ones that come in and interrogate these people, come in with their big guns. You know, let them be the ones that lose their jobs. Let them be the ones that have no funding. You know, let their organizations crumble. Turn one against another, just as the days of Babylon. You know, Babylon falls in a day when, you know, they turn amongst themselves. I don't know, just a different perspective of the way you look at things, but we got to look at things a little bit different.
That is what we have to do. I'm reminded of Jeremiah 17:18 says, "Let those who persecute me be put to shame. But as for me, let me not be put to shame. Let them be dismayed, but let me not be dismayed. Bring on them a day of disaster." Well, let's pray that right now.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, bring a day of disaster on these 3- and 4-letter agencies that rule over us up in Washington, D.C., and from sea to shining sea. Lord, they persecute us. They put us to shame. They persecute these people at the Gibson Guitar Factory. Lord, we know they persecute your people in Texas and from here to there. Let them, Lord, be put to shame. Let your indignation against us have run its course. Let it be filled, O Lord. You have brought us low. We are nothing without thee. We have no power. We have no strength in our own arms, in our constitution. That is nothing, Lord. We claim no strength and nothing there. And we have no strength. We waste away unless we claim you. And unless we turn back to your word and your way. And so, Lord, we do this right now. On behalf of the remnant, on behalf of the men here, Lord, we do. We cry out. We say, Lord, save us. Let the pit that they dig for us be their grave.
Amen.
Let them be dismayed, O Lord. Let the fear come upon them, the fear of interrogation, the fear of the big guns, the fear of no job, the fear of how am I going to pay for my house now that you've closed down my factory and taken my job and my livelihood. Lord, let that run rampant in their camp. Bring that day of disaster upon them, O Lord. Let it come quickly. Let it come this very night, Lord. Let them be the ones that are thrown out in the street. Let them be the ones that have no food to eat.
Amen.
Let them be the ones, O Lord, and let your remnant that looks to you for their health, safety, and welfare, that looks to you for deliverance, let them be magnified and let them be delivered. And we pray it knowing, Lord, that you hear us, that you love your people, that those that love you, and we know you hear and answer our prayers. And we thank you for hearing and answering this one. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen. Yeah, it's the fear of the not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid and shall not be known. Well, I tell you in darkness that speak ye in the light, and what you hear in the ear, thou preach you upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And I know tons of people that they fear the FBI, the CIA, and the IRS. I mean, they live their lives and tremble and don't want to ever come against them, you know. Well, all they can do, the most they can do to you is kill you. You know, they can't cast your soul into hell. You know, so let's just fear the one that can do that and let the chips fall where they may.
Amen. So amen. And you know, God's trying to get the people's attention along these lines. He really
is. Yeah, what do you got for news stories there, Richard?
Well, another powerful earthquake hits off of Alaska. Not too big, you know, just a 7.1. Oh, but later they downgraded it to a 6.8.
Wow.
Witnesses described it as intense. And that was off of the Aleutian Islands early on Friday morning. Had a brief tsunami warning. Fairly shallow, they said. But just another earthquake. You know, we've spoken with some of our extended congregation up there in Alaska, and they've just had earthquake after earthquake after earthquake. If it's not at least a 6 or 7 on the scale, it doesn't even get reported anymore. But they said that they have just lived with earthquakes this entire year. So more earthquakes in the north, extreme northwest. Listen to a news broadcast on Friday. Basically, you got triple-digit temperatures in Texas and Oklahoma, and gale-force winds. They're battling. You know, I miss Wednesday night. My apologies. We had a big fire up north in our part of the county, and they paged all of us volunteers out to go up there. We have nothing like what they have in Texas and Oklahoma. They've had 60-plus days of triple-digit temperatures. They have gale-force winds, and in Texas and Oklahoma, the plains, they're bone dry out there. Now, the northeast United States, after Hurricane Irene, is completely waterlogged. We talked about that a little bit last night, or on Thursday night. Chris and I did. I had Chris on our broadcast on Thursday night, Chris from North Carolina, and he said they're still waterlogged there. Vermont is still completely underwater, still have towns that aren't reachable. Whereas in Texas and Oklahoma, they've got these wildfires, and they haven't had rain in over, 60 or 80 days. Had the governor of Oklahoma, Mary Fallon, on a news report says, yeah, we've had a tough summer. A tough summer? A tough summer? They had 36 homes destroyed on Wednesday from a wildfire, with 60 more threatened. You know, the reporter's talking to her, and she says, well, we'll be thinking about you and them, the firefighters. We'll be thinking about you. And Governor Fallon says, well, keep us in your prayers. And I say to you, Governor Fallon, you know, do you serve a righteous God? Do you serve Jesus Christ? You know, do you keep the Sabbath day holy, Governor Fallon? Do you only pass, and you know, I know that it's even backwards even saying this, Jason. You don't have to remind me because, you know, we're really not to have a woman governor over a state, are we? But I just say this, that, you know, the double-mindedness of our people and our leaders, I mean, one for even having a female governor.
Wouldn't it be interesting if people got, if all of a sudden they woke up one day and realized that, let's just take the state of Texas, if they realized that the wrath of God was coming against the state of Texas for the decisions that their elected officials were making.
Yes.
And if everybody in that state woke up the next morning, tomorrow morning, and realize that this is the wrath of God, and this is because we've turned away from His law, and His law says this, and His law prohibits us, and our elected officials are making the wrong decisions, and they are bringing the wrath of God upon us. That would be an interesting day in Texas, wouldn't it?
It would be. It absolutely would be. You know, they might still have, in Austin, bring your gay teen to church day, but it'd be to tell him to either repent or we're going to stone you to death. Because that's what the Bible says, that homosexuality is a life offense. The death penalty is what's called for that. And yeah, for adulterers too. Absolutely, that's what the Bible says. And he says, I change not. And so you get these, you know, somebody sent us, Jason, I don't even want to show it to you, but this, some gay and lesbian magazine that they put out in Austin. And it's a very high dollar magazine that they put out. And so it's no doubt that you're having 60 plus days of triple digit temperatures and you're not having rain and you're not having that in places that just, it you know, that love sin. You know, that pull sin behind them, it says, I think, in Isaiah, like a cart. They just lug it around with them everywhere they go. They love it. They absolutely love it. You look at California and how it has been totally decimated and invaded by the alien. And why is that? Well, you know, you ever heard of a place called San Francisco? God is not mocked. He, you know, as a man or a nation reaps, sows, so shall they reap. And that's just what happens. Then down in the southeast, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal. Now, there's another one, you know. He was supposed to be a presidential candidate this year, but I guess they figured that there's enough anti-Muslim sentiment, because he looks like about a half Haji head. But he declares a state of emergency ahead of number 13 tropical depression, 13 coming in on them. They're expecting 12 to 15 inches of rain over the weekend. And, of course, this is when New Orleans is having Southern Decadence Weekend this weekend.
What is it?
It's their Southern Decadence, you know, when they have all the queers down there in New Orleans.
Oh.
They have it every year. And just about every year, God says, hey, I'll be there too. And he sends a nice hurricane right up there, you know what. And so they're talking about, like I said, up to 18 inches of rain if this doesn't develop into a major hurricane. But it is a huge tropical depression storm, just dumping tons and tons of rain on Louisiana to where, you know, they're running scared, declaring a state of emergency. You know, do you think God is happy with what's going on, America? And then how about the economy? How about the economy? Job growth at a halt. Worst
yep.
job growth showing in 11 months. They cooked the numbers. You know they cooked the numbers.
Oh, yeah.
They can't
saying,
keep
okay,
these straight.
Well, oh, wait. There's a factory over there, and they got 530 jobs there. Let's see if we can shut it down.
Yeah.
You know, anytime they have a war on, if they're having a war on, what, a war for jobs, or what would they call that?
Unemployment. Or
a whatever. War against unemployment.
It goes up.
Is going to go up.
Get this, though. State governments posted a gain of 5,000 jobs. The state governments and the federal governments, they're adding jobs left and right. Well, who's paying for them? Well, we just print more money. But the real jobs out there, the percentage of working age adults who are employed right now, already at its lowest rate since 1983. That's when I graduated from high school. That's what, 27, 8 years ago, whatever it is. My math is
yep.
terrible. 28 years ago?
27.
Yeah.
28.
Ticked from 58.6% to 58.5%. Wow. How's that hope and change working out for you out there, America? So, we got earthquakes, we got pestilence, and there's no jobs, and the jobs that are there, the factories are closing down. We got hurricanes. It's exciting times to be in.
You know, and nobody ever talks about it anymore, but Fukushima is still leaking radiation every day.
Yes, it is.
Pouring it out.
And nobody even, it's not even a blip on the radar anymore.
Nope.
And, you know, and I mean, they're talking about Tokyo. It's not going to last.
Yeah, being uninhabitable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's worldwide, and
that was one thing that it was interesting because they said, oh, you know, that will never happen. Even when it was in its height and it was dumping radiation, oh, it's not a big deal. Well, that's one of those things that they as the standard media out there was saying. You know, anybody that's saying that this is going to cause problems, they're just a kook. You know, they're one of those conspiracy kooks. And now they've come out and actually stated that, yeah, it probably will be never inhabitable again.
And it's been over 100 days. I don't know what it is, but they said it's like the Hiroshima bomb going off every day somewhere. Somewhere in the world, it's like that bomb going off.
Remember when they were saying, this will never be a Chernobyl. This will never even get close to a Chernobyl. Well, they were doing the same thing with Chernobyl when Chernobyl was going off.
Yeah.
Oh, it's raining, snowing white flakes. What's that? Oh, that's nothing. That's nothing. That's nothing.
Yep. It's like the Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. You know, just believe what we tell you, and all will be well.
Yep.
All will be well. I wanted to, back in Isaiah, I got out of Jeremiah finally. Now I'm in Isaiah. I know it's working backwards, isn't it? But Isaiah 8, it talks about, and this is kind of to the, I guess we could put this out to the, like you said, not being like the talking heads that are out there just saying doom and gloom and the conspiracy facts and conspiracy theories and blah, blah, blah. Isaiah 8 is talking about a believing remnant. Be broken, O peoples, be shattered. Give ear, all remote places. It goes on down and says in 11, for thus the Lord spoke to me with mighty power and instructed me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, you are not to say it is a conspiracy. In regard to all that this people call a conspiracy. And you are not to fear what they fear, or be in dread of it. It is the Lord of hosts whom you should regard as holy. He shall be your fear, and he shall be your dread. Then, so if we can regard the Lord of hosts as holy, and we can fear him and dread him, then in 14 it says, he shall become a sanctuary. And, you know, and doesn't that tie in with that what you fear will come upon you? Well, fear the Lord and let him come upon you. But it means it, I think, in a good way. But we hear so much about conspiracies and, oh, you know, and I'm so sick and tired of hearing about HAARP, H-A-A-R-P. That is just it right now. You know, HAARP causes the earthquakes. And HAARP causes the tsunamis. And HAARP causes this. You know, HAARP's no different than Mother Nature, and neither one of those are any different in anything else but just an affront to God Almighty.
Yep, absolutely. You know, no matter what hand God uses to cause these earthquakes, God's using it.
Yes, yes.
I don't care if it's the government can form these hurricanes out in the sea and bring them in wherever they want. Believe me, God has a hand in it, just like he did.
Well, he used all kinds of different peoples to come against Israel time and time again throughout history, you know, whether it be the Assyrians or the Babylonians or whatever it was, and they had different weapons of warfare.
Yes.
But it was a weapon of warfare that the Lord allowed them to use to chastise his people, to come against his people, to bring them into proper order. And that's what we've got to get to. You know, that was in Isaiah 8, wasn't it, that you were just reading?
Yes, Isaiah 8, like 9 through 14.
And
many times through that, he does this, just that, Jason. I was reading this morning in this, and he says, he whistles. He says he whistles like you'd whistle for your dog. He whistles, and the enemies of his people come running, you know, to punish his people. It's like Chris's song, Blame God. You know?
Yep.
And I hope you understand that, but it's the bottom line, the most common denominator for you math geeks out there. You know, you have to add and divide and multiply fractions and all that. You got to get it down to the least common denominator. The lowest common denominator is that God causes it. And why? Because of sin. Because his people have turned away from him.
Good point. I'd like to read Isaiah 10, verse 20 and 21 and 22. Since Richard brought up Isaiah, which was a good verse, you know, a lot of times we hear people talking about the remnant. Verse 20 says, now in that day the remnant of Israel and those of the house of Jacob who have escaped will never again rely on the one who struck them, but will rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. A remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. For though your people, O Israel, may be like the sand of the sea, only a remnant within them will return. A destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness. So just because you're in that remnant doesn't mean you've got it made. We've got to be the remnant of the remnant. There is a determined destruction coming.
Yes.
And, you know, the Lord is using many weapons of warfare against us, his people. And we've got to hunger and thirst to make sure that we wear that mark upon us, upon our hearts, and that we groan for the abominations going on upon our land and against our people. And if things like that are happening in this land don't bother you, then you better examine your heart and get to the place where they do, because these things that are going on should bother you and they should affect you, and you know, at least bring you to the point where you cry out to your Lord and Savior and say, Jesus, save us as a people.
Yeah, absolutely. That remnant you're talking about, if you want to read about the remnant that's gonna make it, the remnant of the remnant, you read Romans 9 through 11, and you know it talks about in Romans 11 how all of Israel shall be saved, and that is true, but all of Israel isn't what we would think of as all of Israel. All of Israel is the ones that pertain to the adoptions, the promises, the giving of the law, that all these things that God gave them, and that doesn't cover everyone that was born of Jacob, because I mean, as it's written, you know, it's just a remnant of a remnant that shall be saved. And even though in God's eyes that is all Israel, and you need to be part of that.
And Jesus Christ himself said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I say do. You know, and you read throughout the Bible, Jeremiah even, it says, you know, that God knows the heart of man. And so he knows if you're keeping the commandments. He knows if you're obeying his law. Because isn't that what a commandment is? A law?
Yeah.
Do this, don't do that. Well, that's a law. You know, don't speed. Different kind of law. I understand all that. It's civil and made by man and not of God. But another word for commandment is law.
Well, it's all going to come down to who you fear the most.
Yes.
Who's your master? Who's your king? Because you can obey all the laws of the land you want because you're afraid of getting pulled over and getting a speeding ticket or
right.
whatever it is. You know, well, how about treating God with the same respect or maybe even a little bit more and worry about, you know, maybe the consequences or the punishment of his laws?
Yes.
You know, they're a little bit more severe than, okay, it's going to raise my insurance rate.
Yeah, or a $200 ticket.
Right.
They are a bit more severe.
Or what's going to happen when my wife finds out?
Yes.
Don't get me started on that.
You know, and along those lines, it's interesting because if you read Joshua, you know, Joshua was a mighty, mighty man of God. And going through that, I think, reading about Joshua, I've always been intrigued by reading about Joshua. And Joshua, I think he was so mighty because he was so obedient. The Lord said, do this, he did it. He never questioned. He was mighty because of the love that he had for the Lord, that when the Lord said, do this, he did that. There was no thinking about it. There was no questioning in it. He was up and at him and right to it.
Faithful man. I mean, him and Caleb, when you think about them going over and checking out the land of Canaan, you know, I mean, how many did he send over there, do you know? I mean, how many was there all together? But I know only Joshua and Caleb were the ones that were, yeah, let's go. We can take them. Yeah, they look huge or whatever, but let's go for it, you know, because they had a faith.
Right.
You know? I mean, they believed. They believed God.
God said, and they believed it. And that is the faith we must have today. That's the faith we want that we're working on. I guarantee you that. And that's the faith we want you to have. If the Word says it, guess that's truth. That's, as my dad used to say, you could take that to the bank. You know, I never really understood
yep.
that, but that was an old saying, and it meant that that's true. That's the truth. You can count on it. And when you read it in this Word, and you make a real good point, Kyle, that's what Joshua and Caleb understood. They said, God said he'd give it to us. He hadn't lied to us yet. He's never failed us yet. Let's go get it. Let's go. And it was the same way with David up against Goliath, you know.
And there was an enthusiasm. You can tell it in the
yes.
in the text that they were enthused. They were ready. Let's go. I mean, it's time, you know. And instead of a bunch of cowards like, you know, the rest of them obviously were, and the men and the so-called preachers in our society, a bunch of cowards. They just whimper down to, you know, to yep. their master, the government.
That's right. You know, today it's as was prophesied, it's for fear of the Jews. It's for fear of the Jews and the Jews' laws. You know, their filthy laws that are in there, their 501c3 nonprofit tax-exempt status. That I guarantee you, you know, because we're not that. We're not a 501c3. We don't have the Secretary of State as the head of our church, because that's the head of the corporations, isn't it? Isn't that the head of the nonprofits, Jason, the Secretary of State in the state you're
you
in?
You know, I'm not really exactly sure how
I
works.
Think that's what it is. I remember the pastor preaching on it, because Jesus Christ is the head of our church and the head of our homes. And you know, we talk to the remnant out there, and you know, we strive to have our homes in order. And what that means is that Jesus Christ is the head, not the state. What his word says goes above everything else. And then the men you're listening to here are in obedience to Jesus Christ. And then our wives are in obedience to us. That's the way it goes. And then we do our very best to have our children in obedience there. And that's the proper order, folks. You know, Jason, I was encouraged Thursday night. We had a caller. I think his name was Randy. He called in, and we were playing a song, and I talked to him off the air for a minute, and it was the first time he'd heard a broadcast. He'd heard about us before, never listened in, and, you know, I don't know if Thursday night was the best broadcast for him to hear, but he enjoyed it, and we directed him to the website and that type of thing. And
it
was encouraging to me to know that. And I've, how many times did we hear the pastor saying it? You know, there are people that God is calling. There are these seeds being planted all the time. You know, and I think I could faithfully say that right now, you know, what are we, a little over a half hour into this broadcast, there are people out there that are hearing this for the first time saying, what in the world are these people talking about? But what we're talking about is the Word of God, the Bible. Whether it's King James, New American Standard, the English Standard Version, hopefully you don't have something weird like NIV or something that really convolutes the word. But we're talking about the Word of God. You know, in John 1:1, he says, it was in the beginning, he was there. In the beginning was the Word. That's the same in the beginning as in Genesis. And that Word was Jesus Christ. And God says he hasn't changed. And so at the end of Revelation, Jesus Christ and God the Father are the same as they were in Genesis 1:1, and that's what we're talking about, folks. We're talking about, you know, why we have hurricanes and why Fukushima is still pouring the radiation out, and why we have flooding in one part of the country and severe drought in the other. It's because this word is given to his people, and we are his people, and we are not following his word.
Well, that's true. And, you know, we're for something. We're for Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Which means we're Christians. And if you're for something, that means you have to be against something. And so, pretty much, I mean, if you boil it all up, you know, I remember all the years listening to Pastor Peters. If you boiled it all up, he was either talking about being for Christ, or he was talking about those who were against Christ, which would be Antichrist, you know.
Yes.
And I think it's 1st or 2nd John that says, you know, that any man who says that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, you know, is not our Lord, you know, those are Antichrist. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're completely white and albino, or if you're as dark as, you know, the Nigerians, whatever. Whoever you are, and you say Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, you are Antichrist, and we are against Antichrist. You know what I mean? Whether it's an Arab, whether it's a Caucasian, whether it's a black, whether it's a Chinese, you know, or whether it's an Indian or Indonesian or whatever. If you do not say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're Antichrist. And there's no getting around it.
Amen.
And that's basically what I know of. When I think of this ministry, you know, that's what it's all built around, being for Christ and against Antichrist. You know?
And wouldn't you think that all ministries and all people that proclaim to be Christians would agree with that?
Yeah, you'd think that. I mean, you'd think every preacher out there would be saying, if you want to get to the Father, you know, because everybody's so heavenly minded, if you want to get to the Father, well, there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son.
Right.
You know? And if you're going to deny that he's the Son, you ain't got a prayer to get to the Father.
Right. I mean, Jesus Christ himself said that. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, those are the words of Jesus Christ. And so if you out there are going to a little Methodist church in, you know, Vermont or New Hampshire or Seattle or Indiana or wherever it may be, and your preacher isn't preaching that, your most high heavenly or most high Reverend Mary Jones or whoever it may be, you know, in whatever convoluted so-called church it may be, if they don't agree with that, they're not agreeing with Jesus Christ. Paul's, in his second letter to Timothy in 1:8, says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And that is what our Lord Jesus Christ testified, was you don't get to God the Father except through me. And that's what Kyle's talking about, is that there's so many out there that deny Christ. Oh, but the Jews, for example, you know, they have their G_D. They won't even say the word God, won't even write it in their writings. They're so high-minded and holy, they deny Jesus Christ. Guess what? They don't get to God the Father. And for all of you out there that are still stuck in these Judeo-Christian churches that might be tuning in saying, what is going on here? Turn to the second letter of Timothy. Timothy 2:4. And in starting in verse 3, it says, for the time will come, and I'll say right now, the time has come. It is today. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You're listening to sound doctrine, that if you deny Jesus Christ, you're the Antichrist. That's sound doctrine. But the time has come, they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. You know, and that's right where the majority of the what used to be Christian America and Christians in the world, isn't that just what they've done? Turn away to myths?
Oh, absolutely.
God loves everybody.
And most of the time it's talking about Jewish myths.
Yes.
Our Jewish myths. I'm reading here in Matthew chapter 16 where it talks about the leaven of the Pharisees. It says, how is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisee and the Sadducees. And that's exactly what it is. It's the doctrine that went, goes clear back in the days of Christ when he was walking around there. They had this doctrine out there, you know, and many of them, you know, that were just a bunch of fables. Just they weren't built on the Word of God. They were built on the traditions of men and how they wanted to see things and how they, you know, so they... So they consequently, they have all this leaven, you know. I mean, pretend the body of Christ is bread, you know, and leaven represents sin. You got to get that out of there or it's going to destroy the whole loaf. I mean, and that's just the way it is.
It is. You know, one of the fables is just believe. If you'll just believe in God, that's enough. That gets you in. You're sanctified and holified and saved and redeemed and blah, blah, blah. They'll quote, you know, James 2. You believe that God is one, you do well. Well, there you go. But they don't read the rest of that where it says the demons also believe and shudder. You know, this faith only doctrine, this belief only, faith only, is straight up out of the pits of hell. It's a myth.
Yeah.
It's a fable. It absolutely is. Well, folks, if you don't know who you're listening to some ranch wranglers, Jason and Kyle and Richard, coming to you from the Radio Ranch, just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. We're broadcasting on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, broadcasting out over internet, shortwave. You can get our shortwave frequencies if you go to our website, or if you get our newsletter, The Dragon Slayer. We keep the updated shortwave frequencies in that. And also broadcasting out on free-to-air audio satellite. We do send our newsletter out. We have a monthly newsletter that we just sent out number 8. We're working on number 9. Send it out free of charge. It's not free to send it out, but we don't really charge for it. And if you'd like that, you can write to us at Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And if you're listening on shortwave, we'll give you our internet addresses, our websites, scripturesforamerica.org. That's scripturesforamerica.org. You can also go to sfaw.org, take you to the same place. And then these broadcasts are archived at our network website, sfawbn.com. It's sfawbn.com. And our newsletters are there at the website as well. So that's how you can get in touch with us. We're thankful that we're able to get in touch with you over internet and shortwave. And it's the support of the remnant out there that allows us to do that.
And we're going to have another exciting message tomorrow coming from the church. Being Pastor Peters again, and nobody can speak the truth the way he can or did. And I'm looking forward to it. I don't know what it is, but I'm looking forward to it, and I know it's going to be exciting because it always is.
Amen. Amen.
Well, did you hear about all the charges being dropped against the Detroit mother who refused to treat her daughter with psychiatric drugs?
I didn't hear about it.
No.
A couple months ago, she had a standoff with a SWAT team. She had refused to give her daughter the psychiatric medications. And so, of course, Child Protective Services, and that's a lie just in itself, but the Child Protective Services, and that's just their name, that's not what they do, and that's not what they are, but they were contacted, and they had a SWAT team come to the family's house, and there was an armed standoff, and it went on for a while, and then they walked out, decided it wasn't worth it. They ended up getting thrown in jail and charged with several felony counts, and were in jail for quite some time before all charges were dropped. So praise the Lord for that, because we did pray for that woman when that happened, and I'm glad that she got off, because she didn't need to be, you know, she didn't need to be sticking the poisons in her daughter, and sure didn't need to have all those felony counts on her record. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the deliverance.
Oh, absolutely. And he does still deliver his remnant, folks.
Yes, he does.
You know, time and time again, we get praise reports in of whether it's a healing, whether it's a deliverance. If we had time, we could sure talk about times of deliverance. Jason, I know you have several times in your life, just even with your daughter, times that you guys were just literally delivered right out of the lion's den.
Yep, we were, time and time again.
I've seen it before, and it's on those that put their trust in him. That's where he dwells, is in those that fear him, those that look to him for their health, safety, and welfare. And
it's nice to hear a story of somebody who doesn't want their children to be stuck,
yes,
you know, by the authorities. You know, I mean, it just shows me that obviously they love their child. I mean, I lucked out. I grew up in a church that we didn't do the doctor thing, you know, so I've never had a needle stuck in my body at all. You know, and as far as I know, I've never killed anybody with the diseases I'm carrying around. You know, I'm almost 50, you know, and I'm, you know, I don't think I've got any bad disease other than overweightness, and that's my own fault, you know. But, you know, you get these things, you get all these doctrinations, which is of the Pharisees again, you know, where they program all these so-called Christians, especially, you know, the ones that Richard talked about earlier with itching ears, you know, wanting to keep themselves their own teachers, that, you know, they program all these people to obey these things and go ahead and let them stick a big needle in your child's shoulder or arm or whatever. And it's just like half the people don't even know what's in it, you know, or don't even ask what's in it.
Don't
Nobody
care.
Knows. They Nobody don't, knows what's in it.
Well, they don't care. It's just what this care. God doctor said is good, so he must be right.
Yeah, and the preachers on the pulpits just go right along with it, like you said earlier, you know, the 501c3, because that's where they get their business from. They don't want to be find themselves with a church full of just eight people, you know, as one preacher we know was willing to go through to just speak the truth, you know, and say, hey, you know, they might be killing your child. They might be giving your child something that's going to give them Down syndrome and retardation and
autism.
What else? Yeah,
autism.
Yeah.
You know, when we, my oldest son is 21. When we first started having children, I didn't even know what that word was. Nobody had heard of that 20 years ago. It was so rare, autism was, 20 years ago. You know, what, one in 100,000, one in a million kids would have it. There was nothing. Now, they say one in 100. I have, in my extended family, my sister's children, I have three sisters, and in their children's, you know, they've married and this and that. There are two in that group that deal with autistic children. Well, why is that? What has increased in the last 20 years that would bring this upon us, other than sin in the land and no prayers in school and all that kind of stuff? The vaccinations.
Yep.
And they can say all they want. Oh, the vaccination, the thimerosal, it doesn't cause autism. There's no proofs. Blah, 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 blah. Well, good. If that's good for you, as for me and my house, we choose this way. You know, they have nothing to say. The Amish community, which does not vaccinate for anything, has zero autism. Ta-da! Imagine that. Anyway, Jason, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, Calvin, he's been on the program a couple times. I did an interview with him about 2 weeks ago. He has... that's what woke him up, is he took his children in. He was just the average Joe Blow on the street, and went in, took his kids in to get their shots, and both his son and his daughter the next day came down with autism. And he went to town researching, saying, what happened? What caused this? And has turned into a researcher because of it, and researched the vaccinations, and has made a life of going around trying to educate people. And I was talking to him the other day after a broadcast, and he said, why did this have to happen? You know, why did God allow this to happen, basically? And I said, I can't tell you for sure, but I said, Calvin, you got an education now, and you have had to pay the price for a truth that you've got. And I said, now don't waste it. You know, educate people with it. Use what you've been through and how this has affected your family. You know, you've got to take care of those children every day, and it's not easy taking care of autistic children.
No.
You know, he's shared with me some of the stories and some of the things that he's got to deal with on a day-to-day basis, and it's not easy. And I told him and encouraged him, you know, don't waste it. Make sure that you can educate others on this matter that the Lord's allowed you to see and allowed you to come into this knowledge. And I said, if you can prevent one family from, if the Lord can use you to prevent one family from making that decision and not vaccinating their children, and they don't get autism because of it, I said, then that's great.
Yep. How old were his children when they came down with that?
I think they were 4 and 6.
Wow. You know, and they were perfectly fine before that.
Yep.
Yep.
And you know, Jason, that is a very, we talked about common denominators earlier. That's a very common denominator, that if you will have eyes to see, you see that people that will actually talk about it, that's what happened. Their children are fine until they get this or that, you know, witch's brew of whatever it may be. And you know, folks, if you think your government loves you, you're just wrong. If you think that they're out to help you, you're wrong. I'm sorry. That's all there is to it. In John 10:10, it says, the thief comes only. There's only three things the thief comes to do, and it's not to help you. The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that's what the thief does. And I think this ties in what you were talking about earlier, Kyle, that you know, you're either for Jesus Christ as we are, or you're against him. It's as simple as that. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
Well, what do you think that word steal means when it says that they come to steal? Do you think that really means to steal the way that we think?
I think it does. It means to take what is yours.
When it says that they come to kill, do you really think that it means to kill?
Yeah, and your point is taken, because most people, they read that, and it's like it doesn't even mean nothing to them.
No.
Yeah, it's like,
exactly.
It's like when it says
to destroy,
it means
steal. It means take what is yours, what is rightfully yours, what you've worked for, take it away from you.
It could be your wife, it could be your child.
Children,
it could be, what, yeah.
It could be all your possessions at,
yes.
at the snap of the fingers. When it says kill, it means it would kill. They would kill your wife, they would kill your daughter, they would kill your son, they would kill you, they would kill everybody in your family and not think twice about it. They're killers. When it talks about destroy, it means destruction. It means utter and complete destruction. They love destruction.
They are destroyers.
Jesus and John the Baptist both had their turn at these snakes, and they both called them, you brood of vipers. You know, I mean, they knew exactly what they are. So like you were saying, Jason, when you get snake bit, don't shut up about it. Help, you know, like Calvin there. Tell people about. Tell them how you got snake bit. You know how they came against you and they tried to steal and kill and destroy you and your family because you might help somebody out. You know, I mean, you might make just one person think, "Ooh, I don't. You know, what do I got to do to prevent that from happening to me?" You know, and if it's not taking your kids to get them their flu shot or whatever it happens to be, if you can just help save a soul, help. You know, save a life, you know, I mean, maybe that's the whole plan.
That's a good point.
It is.
Very good point.
It is.
What time we got now?
I think we've only got about 4 minutes left, if you could believe that.
Yeah, well, time. How long's the song that we got there?
Time flies. Well, it's, yeah, our little outro song is just about that, about 3 minutes. So
okay.
I guess we better wrap it up.
Well, it was good to be here. Good coffee, good fellowship.
Yeah, I hope everybody out there has a great Labor Day weekend, and stay tuned for church tomorrow because it'll be another exciting message by Pastor Peters.
Yep. Folks, we do thank you for joining us. Men, thank you all for taking time out this Saturday morning to get this broadcast out. And, you know, we'll close it out. We've had people say they appreciate this. We, at least in this way, walk in the pastor's footsteps, and we say, and this is to bless those that are the true children of God that love him. The Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. And that's a blessing from us to you. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them hell's and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, they hide.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more.
They hide.
Ha!
Ha!
Keep moving, moving, moving. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Snake-eyed.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, big high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more.
Stay.
Anytime!